Blog Talk Radio.
What up, what up, what up? It's P. Richardson, the owner of Soul Creative, saving athletes respectfully on the P. Richardson Morning Show. Right now, I got a tribute to Mr. Stewart Scott, such a great icon, such a very beneficial person to our community. Excuse me. Right after this segment, we're going to get straight into the show. Here we go.
What does it look like? How does it sound? What does it say?
Call Kanurkel Butter, because he is on a roll.
At a time when a lot of what we saw, what we heard, and what we watched on ESPN was the same, he wasn't.
Looking like two here?
Oh,
not quite. Off the wall. It's a double for Cal. His mom thought it was a homer.
More than being in the right place at the right time, he was a new voice for a new time.
And yo, let me tell you, his wasn't the only one tonight. SportsCenter starts time right about now.
And as soon as we heard it, the rules, the boundaries, the industry changed. And we knew it.
Booyah. That's it. In a word, that's what he brought to SportsCenter. He brought his own attitude and energy and lexicon.
Third inning, Derek Jeter in first. Booyah! Alex Rodriguez, second homer in two nights.
And he owned that distinctive style of doing the show the way he wanted to do it.
He didn't push the envelope. I mean, he bulldozed the envelope. And the fact that he was willing to try something new. You know, he had white guys in their 30s, all with catchphrases. Stewart certainly wasn't that.
You know this kid is as cool as the other side of the pillow. Three-run shot to left.
When he started at ESPN, I was still in college, and he was the guy that I stayed up to watch appointment television because of Stewart Scott.
Watching him as a black man, hearing things that I talk about with my other friends who are black, who my white friends might not know, and feeling like, okay, I'm part of the conversation now, whereas before I wasn't, and that was really cool.
Stewart Scott grew up in North Carolina and graduated from Chapel Hill, a proud Tar Heel with a deep determination. He began his career in television working for local stations in the South.
All of the movie reviews are good, and practically every newspaper and magazine article, and there are a lot of them, mention the city of Durham. It's a Hollywood formula that's bound to spell success for the entire Bulls organization.
He arrived in Bristol in 1993 for the launch of ESPN2.
He was like a ball of fire walking in the door. I'd never met anybody like Stewart Scott.
If you're Warren Moon, what are you doing at this hour? Watching Sports Night? We know, but maybe you should be packing your bags and calling real estate agents in Minnesota.
I think it was pretty obvious, you know, after doing Sports Night that this guy was going to be a big player here, that he came at it from a different angle. We certainly needed some more diversity on the air, and he certainly brought that in many ways.
Who's got the best left hook, right cross in sports?
From the start, some embraced Stewart's style, and some didn't.
Stewart was very clear about who he wanted to be on TV, and it wasn't always the easiest path, and there was initially resistance here, but he had a very strong conviction about who he wanted to be on TV, the audience that he wanted to represent, and the voice that he was going to have.
Cynthia Cooper invited Pookie and Ray Ray and them over, put on some old Earth, Wind & Fire and an 8-track at a block party.
Coop, you go, girl.
When we started doing SportsCenters together in 96, just hearing from a lot of people that his style was grating on him. And I know Stewart heard that, but he didn't care. I mean, not one time did he think for a single second that he should be anything but himself and true to himself and who he is.
Top five. Booyah! Royce Clayton takes Juan Guzman out. Royce, slow your roll, kid. It's only his fifth homer of the year, but he rushed it and crushed it 423 feet.
Can we really accept, you know, this guy with the booyahs and this and the flair
on SportsCenter, this pristine journalism show? And obviously the answer is, of course we would. And he, his presence catapulted that show, himself, and ESPN to another stratosphere, really, with sports fans.
The big 7'1", 330-pound brother who strides up court like this after bringing down the house.
From his language to his look, his personality to his passion, Stewart connected with the audience and broadened it at the same time. He quickly became a fixture on SportsCenter, while reaching beyond it, creating his own place in pop culture.
Hey, welcome to SportsCenter. I'm Stewart Scott. And alongside me is newcomer to the program, Chet Harper.
Hey, how you doing, Stewart?
All right. Hey, Chet's more excited than Dennis Rodman at a Clinique sale. Booyah! Got your partner.
I think there was a segment of the audience that was kind of unique to him that really hadn't been represented on TV. We hadn't really seen something like that. And he nailed it. And when you were with him out of the studio and you got to see the reaction, then you really understood how much it meant to people.
Owens was fine one day.
Stewart's role at the network expanded over the years. While maintaining his presence at SportsCenter, he served as a host for more programs, including Monday Night Countdown and events like the NBA Finals. He sat down with two presidents, Barack Obama and Bill Clinton, and conducted one-on-one interviews with some of the biggest names in sports, including Tiger Woods and Michael Jordan.
Last time we saw you on a court, 98. Pose, the shot.
It's been that long, huh?
Once and for all, did you push off O'Brien?
What do they call? Okay, whatever they call, I did.
Three men, three baseball players, three friends.
Stewart's path through work and life changed in November 2007. While covering a Monday night game between the Steelers and Dolphins, he was forced to have an emergency appendectomy, and doctors discovered a tumor. He underwent two surgeries and months of chemotherapy and believed he'd beaten it. 4 years later, in 2011, the cancer returned. Stewart faced it again, and again it returned in January 2013. With each recurrence seemingly worse than the last, Stewart continued to fight.
One of the things he said during his illness is he doesn't know what stage he's at. One, two, three, four. He doesn't want to know. He wants to live his life like anybody else. He wants to experience, the joys, the ups, the downs, and so forth. He was determined, I think, not to let his illness define him.
In the midst of continued chemotherapy treatments and medication regimens, Stewart took to the gym to treat his body and his spirit through mixed martial arts and cross-training workouts. It was physical as well as symbolic, his way of continuing the battle. Through it all, he kept to working, exhausted but unyielding.
You have to actually try and be that bad. That's horrid. Again, though, not as bad as Carl Lewis. At least Finney can sing. Finney's a rap mogul. Finney can rap. Carl Lewis threw that thing down, and he's
street cred now after that. Is that street cred or not?
Well, you know, the brothers ain't playing baseball in the street, so he still got street cred. He just ain't got no baseball cred.
You'd see him in commercials, and I'd look over, and he'd be doing one of these. He's almost trying to catch a 30-second nap. And, you know, just killed me to see him like that, because that wasn't the Stewart Scott that I know, that I worked with so many years. And yet, when the red light came on, when he was on camera, the audience at home, I don't think, could tell what Stewart was dealing with.
Home for Stewart held the greatest and most important purpose in his life and his fight. Being a father to his two lovely daughters, Taylor and Sydney.
Your dad loves you to death. All he could do is spend all his time bragging about you and how wonderful you are. And since I've got two daughters, I know how he feels.
Coming.
I wish you guys all the best.
Coming to see you real soon. Love you guys.
He would always talk about him because there is heart, so much pride. The love is beyond any parent would understand it. But his was just so profound and so evident and so, he was so willing to share it in ways that it might be embarrassing to his daughters, you know, but he didn't give them, you know? Sidney and Taylor, he's going to be proud of them. He's going to talk about them, and he did. And it breaks my freaking heart in half, man.
Those girls are the reason why he fought as long as he did. They are the reason why he lived his life before he got sick and definitely after he got sick.
Instead of sending you home tomorrow, I get to go home with you tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Yay, Spurs. On July 16, 2014, after 21 years on the air, Stewart was in a different role, not anchor, but inspiration.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is my profound honor to present the 2014 Jimmy V Perseverance Award to Stewart Scott.
What few knew was that he'd been in the hospital for days just the week before, undergoing multiple surgeries. Determined to make the trip to Los Angeles for that night and that moment.
I knew that the week plus leading up to that night of the SCs that he was in bad shape, and they weren't sure if he was going to be able to make the trip, have the strength to make the trip. So I was scared. I was scared watching him walk up the steps because he was so thin, he didn't look like Stu anymore. But then I reminded myself, hello, who are you talking about here? This is Stewart. And he's not going to let this moment get away.
The speech was a signature. Raw and honest, powerful and indelible.
When you die, that does not mean that you lose to cancer. You beat cancer by how you live, why you live, and in the manner in which you live. I can't ever give up because I can't leave my daughters.
My littlest angel is here, my 14-year-old. Sidney, come up here and give Dad a hug because I need one.
I want to say thank you, ESPN. Thank you, ESPYs.
Thank all of you. Have a great rest of your night and have a great rest of your life.
He owned it, just like he owned every sportscast, every sports center show, every Monday Night Football show he did. He owned it. It was Stewart. It was perfect.
There are many ways we leave our imprint on those around us, and if we're fortunate, our mark upon the world, with a touch and a reach, a sound and a voice.
Swoops with the steel. Swoops, there it is. On a ballot where the party at. Swoops, there it is.
Stewart Scott's voice remains in more than a word or a phrase. It's a truth and a spirit. It's the sound of change. And it will echo for a long time to come.
Ken Griffey Jr., waiting, waiting.
Booyah!
It's hard to remember how revolutionary it was when Stewart brought a little of that hip-hop attitude and style and flair to SportsCenter. And it seems like nothing controversial now to say Booyah or as cool as the other side of the villa. But at the time, it was a little attitude that SportsCenter hadn't really felt before. So he brought that, and it changed everything.
I don't think enough people appreciate what Stewart did when he did it. And I don't know if it's going to be one of those that will understand the impact of his style maybe 5-10 years down the road when you have kids who have watched who want to get in this business and want to emulate him. He took a lot of chances, but he never wavered. So he was so committed to that style, that personality, that demeanor. He wanted to have an impact on the business, and he did.
Yes, he had an impact on our business, but more importantly, your friend had an undeniable impact on those facing cancer, including myself. Thank you, Stu, for your bravery and stellar example.
thank you for being you, as cool as the other side of the pillow.
As cool as the other side of the pillow. What up, what up? This is Pete Richardson, the owner of Soul Creator, saving our speech respectfully. Coming to you live, it is January 5th. The 5 is actually one of my favorite numbers. It was actually my football number in high school growing up. More fortunate to wear it in college. But you know what? January 5th is 2015. It's a new year. A lot of people out there saying it's a new year, new me. You know, whatever you got to do, whatever you got to say to get you through the day, I would advise you to do that. On the line, I do got the youth minister straight up out of Arkansas, or some people can just call it Arkansas, Mr. Stephen Ivey. All what you guys just heard was a tribute to the one and only, the guy who put that swag, who put that right little piece into the cake to ESPN. So not only were they reaching a certain type of audience, but now they're able to reach just about anyone. Because I know growing up, personally, I used to be living in some apartments in Muskogee, Oklahoma, and all I did was just care about baseball. Baseball is my first love. But I used to always notice this black guy on there. He just kind of talked just the same way that I did, man. And so that's what my show is going to be about. I'm just doing a tribute to Mr. Stuart Scott. He's such a great person, such a tragedy, man. He did not even get the chance to see the Big 5-0. Man, when you're young, you don't really know. You don't really understand how precious life is and how life can be taken away from you at any given moment, because when you're so young, you're just so caught up in wanting to be grown. And then you don't understand because your parents be like, boy, you better not rush it. And we just like, no, I just want to call. I want to be able to do whatever I want to do. But I don't know about you that's listening out there. I don't know about you as well, Mr. Ivey. But I know if I can go back and I have to worry about bills and just all I have to worry about is catching the football, catching the baseball, I might not have ate or might not have had electricity every day. But, hey, you know, there was something, what don't kill you will only make you stronger. No matter what you'd have been through or what you'd have done, life's about making your dreams to come true. And on the line right now, I do got Mr. Stephen Ivey. What's up, man? You there with me?
I'm here, man. How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm doing well. How was your New Year's, my man?
Man, it was great. It was great, man.
That's good. Did you guys have a church service or anything? Okay, so kind of tell us how it went. Did you bring the people in right for the 25th?
Yeah, man, we brought them in right, man. Every year we have a service at about 10 o'clock at night. And goes to about 12:30, maybe 1 o'clock, and I had an awesome time, man. It's always good to bring in New Year with family, even if it's your church family. And so we sung, and Pastor preached a really good message about intentions and things like that, and having good intentions, and it was real good.
Oh man, God is good. God is good. I'm great to hear that. I wasn't really fortunate to really celebrate the New Year's in church or go anywhere or do anything. I was actually in the hospital with my fiance. We had a little grease fire on the December 30th here at the house, and I ended up getting burned on the flame. I don't know if you guys caught my New Year's Eve jump off show with former eight-time champion bodybuilder Patricia Payne and her best-selling author husband, Lawrence Payne. I actually had them on the show, called it The Jump Off. And we did it live out of the University Medical Center. And that's one thing I want to stress to you guys today. It coincides with Mr. Stuart Scott's death. You know, just because something happens to you doesn't necessarily mean you have to keep moving. Sometimes it's that dude that's up under the ground that tries to get you from moving like you really want to move above ground. So, Mr. Ivey, that just comes into the message, man. You got the floor. Take as long as you want. Just go ahead and bless the audience with your word, man.
Yeah, man, appreciate it. It's kind of funny that you did the interview or the tribute to Stuart Scott, because I think his life, especially around the latter part of his years, kind of is going to is going to be what my talk is about tonight, and it kind of picks up from what we talked about last year, and that's about your mind and your thoughts. And Pete, we used to have this saying with Coach Hennessy. He used to say, mind over matter. If you don't mind, it doesn't matter. And I talked about this before last year that all that we do, all of our success, it starts with our mind. That however we think and whatever we think, that's what we become, that's what we do. That's how you can have somebody that has cancer in their body but doesn't live like they have cancer in their body. That's how you can have somebody that's living in the projects on Section 8 and have food stamps, but in their mind they're somewhat different, and that's how they can rise above statistics and rise above their neighborhood. And so as an athlete, as a human being, man, woman, boy, girl, your thoughts are important. And I challenge you, if you hadn't done so yet this year, take time and write out your goals, write out your vision, write out what it is that you feel like you're supposed to be doing in life, whether you feel like the Lord has gifted you to do it or whether it's just always been a passion. Write those things out. Keep it before you. Think on it, meditate on it, and find ways to accomplish it. And the more that you think about it, what's going to happen, two things are going to happen. The more you think about it, the more you're going to talk about it. The more you talk about it, again, it'll go back to your thoughts. You'll think about it even more. And the more you talk and think about it, the more you'll slowly start becoming what it is that you think and talk about. And so I challenge you, everybody that's listening, man, get you. They call it a vision board. If you never heard of it, make you a vision board. Go to Walmart, spend about $20, $30. You can get a cork board, a dry erase board. Get you some type of board, man. And if you need to go to the magazines and make a collage or however you want to do it, man, put something in front of you that for 2015 you can say, this is where I'm headed, these are my goals, and then make plans to achieve small steps to get to that goal and get to your dreams, and you'll look back on it years from now and be like, man, it all started with a thought.
It all started with a thought. That's what I'm talking about, Mr. Ivy. You're exactly right, man. The more you think about it, the more you talk about it, the more you're going to want to be about it. But the conflict is, more times than not, the more you think about it, the more you talk about it. You talk about it to your friends, right? And sometimes your friends don't get excited because they don't have the same passion or the same vision that you had that night before. So when you talk about it, sometimes some people want to tell you to be quiet, but you want to know what? That's how you can distinctify who you should keep in your circle in 2015, because sometimes you tell your closest people, you tell your closest friends what you want to do. I want to be an actor. I want to be an entertainer. More times than not, more people always say, I want to be a rapper. You know what I mean? And then, but we tell our friends, and our friends don't really have the same passion and the same enthusiasm. I know I didn't say that word right. Don't have that same drive, you know, because they looking at you like, man, look at our surroundings. Just like you said, we could be on Section 8. We could be living in a project. We could be living in the hood to where, you know, everybody is up to no good. It's like we can't dream outside of this block. And which brings me to my topic about Stuart Scott. Man, about Stuart Scott. Like, I don't think you guys fully understand the life and the impact that he really had. And you know what? You know, you want to know what's really bad? See, I was gonna get into the weather. I was gonna get it because there was a lot of sports that happened over this weekend. But before I get into Mr. Scott, man, John Jones won. That was a UFC fight. Johnny Bones, that's one of my favorite players for the UFC. And I cannot believe Ohio State won. Can you believe that? Urban Meyer, such a great coach. Alabama, Nick Saban, everybody knows. Everybody, they're like the Yankees. They're like the 90s, and they like the 90s Bulls, Chicago Bulls. Everybody's just kind of tired of Nick Saban. But to be quite honest, I was watching the game, but I wasn't watching the game. But whenever I knew it was going to be a game, because I remember that Ohio State versus the Miami Hurricanes game back in the day when I felt like the Hurricanes was going to run all over Ohio State. Whenever Marcus Claret was the running back. So I always knew that those guys, you can never rule those guys out regardless of their record against the SEC. But those guys came out there, they fought hard. They beat the odds. And when I say they beat the odds, it's just like that 17-18-year-old kid who decided to quit playing sports. Now he's back in the hood trying to beat the odds. And sometimes that's when things don't go good. But I'm going to get into that. What's your New Year's resolution? What's your New Year's resolution? Are you trying to be better or are you trying to be weaker? Don't forget, average is just as close to the bottom as it is to the top. So let's not stay complacent on whatever we're trying to do with our dreams and our goals, and let's always keep our grass cut because we never know about them snakes that's coming in. You know what I'm saying? So, and I can't forget about the Florida State loss, man. Florida State, I'm going to be real short. Yeah, they got beat. Oregon came out there and just put it on them. I feel like if Jameis Winston would have got a few more calls go his way early, I don't think that outcome would have been the way that it was, man, because it was just disgusting. I had to turn the channel and just kind of wait for that Ohio State game to come on. But shout out to Jameis Winston, Florida State Seminoles. He's going to have a great career. I really didn't like how the media kind of criticized him and always tried to put him down. But he ultimately had a great game in that national championship game, but it just wasn't a full team effort. Just like in a family, you know, you got to have a full family. You got to have that foundation. But, okay, that's back to Mr. Stuart Scott, man. Back to Mr. Stuart Scott, because I don't think you guys understand, or especially the youth that's probably 15 and under don't really get it, or especially the kids who ain't even hit their teen years don't especially get it of the life that he lived and what he portrayed. Just like with President Obama. And, you know, sometimes, yes, I'm glad that our nation is progressing. Progression is always the lesson. I don't think you guys really understand the powerfulness of making it other than being a professional athlete, other than being an entertainer, and other than, you know, just hitting the lotto. There's other ways that us minorities, and not just black males, but blacks, Latinos, Hispanics, white people, everybody, there's different ways for us to make it. And Stuart Scott actually showed us, because not only were we, like, if you were like me, okay, yeah, just like everybody, my story is probably just like everybody else's. You know, yeah, I grew up in the hood. I grew up to where everybody was up to no good. But I remember specifically, I think I was in the third grade, and I used to live in these apartments called the Ponds, like right off of Highway 69 in Muskogee, Oklahoma. And my first love was baseball. I used to take a baseball, like, because whenever you hit a home run in baseball, you used to take your home run game, you take your balls home with you. So, and I only lived across the street. I remember it was Long John Silver. I used to scrape up change. It used to cost me $2.16. I used to go over there with pennies, quarters, and dimes just to get some, a fish and chicken combo. And so I got a piece of fish, I got a piece of chicken, and I got some fries just for $2.16. You know, nowadays they call it the dollar menu. But back then, you know, that was really unheard of. And that's I only knew that because my mom worked there. So I would go get me a fish and chicken, Long John Silver's with the change that I would get out of my mama's purse or whatnot. Then I would walk on over to Headbox. It was called Headbox, to where we all used to perform at and play Little League. So I wasn't really far from the field. So I used to get extra balls too. But what I'm trying to say is I didn't even know then I was putting in extra time to become a baseball player. Instead of me going out and hanging out with a bunch of knuckleheads, I was throwing the ball up against the apartment complex, acting like I was pitching. And as soon as I get through doing that, I go straight up in the house, and I will go watch ESPN. But little did I know that I will actually follow into Mr. Stuart Scott's footsteps and becoming and being a broadcasting and actually being myself as I am broadcasting, because that's what Mr. Scott embodied. So what I'm trying to say is there are those kids out there on Section 8, just like Mr. Stephen Ivey said. There are all those kids out there that's living in two-parent homes, but that doesn't necessarily mean that those two parents are there. There are those people out there that's coming up in a middle-class home whose parents can afford things, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they are getting across to their children. But most important, well, it's all important, but I can't really speak on something that I really did not live and did not experience myself, but I did experience growing up in a low socioeconomic era, and my whole point is you can make it other than sports. You can make it other than sports. And Mr. Scott embodied that, because if you really pay attention, who is giving you the sports? Who is giving you the sports into which you can understand it? Who is giving you the sports in a way that, you know, you can watch it with your buddies and he end up saying, oh, his name must be Butter because he on the road. Boop, yeah. He's cooler than the other side of the pillow. When they start incorporating that language into the sports world, because if you really look at the sports world and look at the percentages of it, and look at the minorities in it, because I really think that percentage is so high, because before Stuart Scott